Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We continue now our study in John chapter 18 of Peter's shameful denial of Christ. And the lesson for all of us to take heed lest we fall. When you think you stand, take heed lest ye fall. The surprising matter is how quickly Peter went from determined commitment to Jesus Christ to a shameful failure and denial. How could Peter boast of his undying loyalty and then swear a few short hours later that he never knew Christ? How could Peter courageously draw his sword in Christ's defense in the garden against a band of hundreds of Roman soldiers, and later was seen quaking in fright before a servant girl? How could it happen? Well, it happened because Peter is made of the same stuff that you and I are made of. And if we think what happened to Peter could not happen to us, then we are setting ourselves up for a great fall indeed. Peter denied Christ the first time, as recorded in John chapter 18, verses 13 through 23. He was taken by the Apostle John into the high priest's palace where the trial of Christ was going on. John, as we know, had family connections that made him known to the high-ranking officials, and therefore admitted him entrance into the palace, and John was able to get Peter in for the same reason. And Peter, therefore, was on the scene in this intimidating situation when Christ's trial was taking place. And in the situation where Peter is being questioned by this damsel who kept the door and said, "Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" And he said, "I am not. I am not." How easily the first lie slips out. Now, before we go any further, let me pause and welcome you to this Tuesday, January 6th edition of the Beacon broadcast. Let me mention our Sermon of the Month, number one. The text is 1 John 5:13. The title is Biblical Assurance of Salvation. Very important subject, particularly so to many of God's people. It's yours simply for writing us and giving us the call letters of this station and mentioning that you would like to receive this either on cassette or on CD. There's no other obligation. The mailing address is Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, or you can email us at beacon@netpath.com. We'd love to hear from you. Well, the damsel asked Peter, "Are you one of Christ's disciples? Are you one of this man's disciples?" She did not call him Christ. She would not have called him Christ, for Christ is a title that means the anointed one and refers to the promised Messiah. And she, I'm sure, did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. But nevertheless, "Are you one of this man's disciples?" And Peter said, "I am not. I am not." Lying lips. Lying lips. How easily we lie. How easily the lie slips out. How often we reflect back and say, "Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why in that moment did I say something that I knew was not true? I didn't need to say that. Why did I do that?" And that is our Adamic fallenness. And oftentimes when That first little lie slips out. Then we are confronted with a greater challenge, not too much later, where we have to either lie a second time in order to cover the first lie, or if we don't lie, then we will, in effect, be exposing the first lie. And so we feel entrapped, and oftentimes little lie turns into medium-sized lie, turns into larger lie, turns into humongous lie, as we go from lie to lie to lie to lie, trying to cover the last lie. How much better, how much easier to simply tell the truth the first time, how much better to train our lips, to train our heart to tell the truth all the time. But of course, it's not simply a matter of training, is it? We have sinful hearts. And sinful hearts go in sinful directions. And so it's not simply a matter of training. Not simply a matter of training your children to tell the truth, because they have hearts that incline them to lie. It is not simply a matter of taking yourself by the lapels, as it were, and shaking yourself and saying, now, from now on, you are going to tell the truth every time. It's good to do that. I'd recommend it highly, but I'm promising you that all of the firm resolutions in the world will not produce the desired effect unless you have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling your life. In other words, unless you have been born again. Unless you are a child of God, unless you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, because only Christ can cleanse away the guilt of our past sins, and only the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in sanctification can eradicate little by little, progressively, the pollution of our present sin. And without that divine aid, you can do better, but you'll not do perfectly well. I promise you that. In fact, you will be frustrated with your attempts to go straight, to become honest when you have been dishonest, to stop stealing when you have been doing that. Oh, you can make 1,000 resolutions, and you may keep them for a while, but you'll always keep falling back into the old patterns, the old ways, because that, dear friends, I must tell you, that represents who you really are. When you're trying to do better, that represents the ideal of who you know you ought to be. Even as fallen sons of Adam, we have this remaining impression of a better time when man was created in the image of God before he fell in rebellion against his Creator. And we have a conscience that tells us lying is wrong, stealing is wrong, fornication is wrong, dishonoring our parents is wrong. We have a conscience that tells us these things and smites us when we do wrong and tells us we ought to do better and rise to a higher standard. We have this desire. We have this ideal. We have a better self, you might say, a concept of a better self within us that we aspire to be. But we have no power. We have no strength. We have no ability to rise to that higher level apart from the work of God within our lives. And so the damsel said unto Peter, are you also one of this man's disciples? And he said, I am not. That was his first denial. The second denial is recorded in verses 18 through 25, and we find Peter's in a very precarious position in verse 18. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. It was cold. This, by the way, is further evidence for the fact that the trial of Christ took place at night, which was illegal according to Jewish law. They were carrying out a trial that was illegal according to their own laws. But there was Peter, and a fire was started to warm those soldiers, servants, whoever were standing around waiting for the proceedings to take their course. And it was cold, and a fire was started, and people were able to warm themselves by the coals of the fire, and Peter was there, and Peter was cold, and so Peter began to huddle up to the fire. And then we read of the trial of Christ. The camera, as it were, swings away from Peter in the courtyard to what's going on with Christ and Annas, and how Christ is being interrogated, and how many disciples do you have, and who are they, and so forth and so on. And Christ responds to all of that in verses 20 and 21. And then he's smitten, again an unwarranted, illegal blow, by the high priest's servant, and Christ wisely responds to him. He says, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me?" Very good. Don't strike me. Prove me wrong. Don't strike me. Find witnesses who can accurately testify of the wrong that I have done. And if you can't come up with them, then don't punish me. Don't smite me. Don't inflict punishment upon me until you can prove me guilty. A very wise response. Legal proof, please, is what he's saying. There was no legal proof. They had to manufacture it out of dishonest men. There was no legal proof. Then the trial passes from Annas to Caiaphas, from the unofficial to the official trial, possibly in the same location. But then comes the second accusation and the second denial by Peter. We read about it in verse 25. "And Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples?" Here's your second opportunity, Peter. That's the same question the little maid asked you earlier, and you denied and said, "I am not. I am not one of his disciples." Now someone else is asking you the same question. Here's your opportunity to prove yourself to be a man of courage, a man of commitment, a man who keeps his word, a man who is truly loyal to your Savior and Lord and Master, the one that you have sworn allegiance to, the one that you have committed yourself to, the one that you have declared your love for, the one that you have said that you would never leave, even if everybody else would forsake him, you would never do that. Here's your opportunity, Peter, to show what you are made of and to make up for your last slip of the tongue, which you made in haste and was wrong certainly at the time, but now you've had a few moments to reflect upon it and you realize it was wrong, and now you certainly wouldn't do this a second time, because doing it a second time would show a more willful transgression than the first one, would it not? Here's your opportunity, Peter. "They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples?" And we read in verse 25, "He denied it and said, I am not." A second accusation, a second denial. How much more easily the second lie comes than the first. Instead of rectifying the first one upon reflection, he now repeats the first one upon reflection. Instead of correcting his first transgression, he now enlarges his first transgression. Oh, how easily sin creeps incrementally into our lives until it makes us its slaves. And oh, how great to have the power of God, the divine power from above, the only power that is able to truly free us from our sins. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood of the Lamb. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.